And I tweeted on my birthday at A. Pompliano, "Do you have something to tell me today?" And surprisingly enough, he DM'd me and said, "What do I have to tell you?" And I was like, "What the heck? Like, I didn't expect this." And I was like, "I was just making a joke. I'm sorry, it's my birthday." And he responded to my tweet then and said, "Happy birthday, smiley face," or something like that. And I was like, "Okay, that was crazy. By the way, I sent you an email and a DM about this stupid show. Would you be down?" And he was like, "Yeah, sure." And I was like, "No way." And so then, like within a week, I was on a plane to Miami and I went to his office, filmed with him. And while we were filming, he was like, "Dude, Peter's in town. He would love to do this." Hooked me up with Peter McCormick, had my first two episodes, and then it's just kind of snowballed from there.
Welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Co. podcast, where we interview entry-level to C-level executives about working in the Bitcoin industry. Learn about their interview process, what they do day-to-day at their Bitcoin job, and advice for current job seekers looking to work full-time in Bitcoin. Hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Co. podcast. I'm your host, Eric Podwaczki, and today I'm joined by my friend, Tatum Cave, who is a repair specialist at Compass Mining. Thanks for joining me.
Absolutely happy to be here.
Likewise, and I feel like you're always on the opposite end of, you're usually the host, being the host of Between Two ASICs. So it'd be good to learn some more about Tatum and what he actually does in his professional life aside from the show. So Tatum, tell me, before you got into Bitcoin, what were you doing professionally?
This is one of my favorite things to talk about because I was a product of traditional finance. And I got a degree in banking and finance. Crazy, I know. But honestly, that's part of the main reason that I am a Bitcoiner now. But I was doing financial planning, insurance, and life and health insurance, and everything that I touched, I realized that Bitcoin fixes this. So here I am now.
Okay. And so what did you study in school then? Like, what kind of degree did you get?
Banking and finance.
Oh, it was banking finance. And do you mind saying what school you went to?
Yeah, University of Southern Mississippi, the worst football team in America.
Nice. Okay. So what made you want to, I guess, go into that? What made you want to study that in school and then pursue a career in it?
So I always really liked math, just growing up, and I for some reason, I didn't know what I was doing. My first major was mathematics, and I realized that was dumb. My first college class ever was a 400 level math class. I was the only freshman and in a room of juniors and seniors. That was on my advisor for just screwing up. I don't know how that happened. But I wanted, so I changed, I wanted to change my major, didn't know what to, and I looked at the School of Business and there was finance, which I, in my head, numbers and money, and I like both of those things. And so that's how I kind of started going down that rabbit hole.
Okay, got it. And after graduating school, what were you doing? Like, what was your career, I guess, like your job title?
So right after school, I graduated at the height of the pandemic, which was awesome. Because like as I was graduating, a lot of the places that I was looking at went on hire freezes, and so I was unemployed for a little bit between school and job, like actual job, and I was just working at a paralegal firm for a little bit, and then I became a patient account representative for a local clinic. And so I was, that's where I was on the health insurance side of things. And a couple of years later, I moved to New Orleans and was working with a redacted insurance comp life insurance company doing life sales and also family financial planning. And that was really, I was there for about a year. And that year was kind of what radicalized me. And I realized, like, hey, I don't like this because I think that it's a big scam. And that was before I even knew what Bitcoin was, and then I learned about Bitcoin, and that's when I was like, oh yeah, I was right. It is a big scam. So here we are now.
Dude, let's unpack that some more. Talk me through that radicalization story.
Yeah. So the first job that I had with doing health insurance, that was kind of the tip of the iceberg, because I was patient account rep, which was the middleman between customer and insurance company. And so I had to take their information and verify that everything was up to date as far as their payments and stuff and how much their surgeries would cost. And too many times I had to call a patient and say, hey, we can't give you this life-altering surgery because you're $75 short on your deductible. And then you look at the companies and see that their CEOs are raking in millions, if not billions. And it's ridiculous. It was emotionally draining more than anything. And then even on a personal note, my mom has a tumor in her neck, and she's had several surgeries over the past 6 years or so. And this last one was probably the biggest one. And insurance has been totally fine every single surgery except this last one. They, for no reason, said that they were canceling coverage 3 days before it renewed. And it was essentially because they saw this really, really big surgery bill that they didn't want to pay. And so I started digging and finding public records of how much the CEO of my parents' insurance company made. And I was like, that is literally if I pulled out a penny and gave it to someone, that's equivalent to what he would have done if he would have just himself personally paid for my mom's surgery. And so I was really upset about all that. And then we ended up getting it worked out. I actually ended up using some of my connections to try to get up the chain, and it was kind of cool. It felt really badass.
Yeah.
And then I went to this other insurance company, which was mainly life, and that was when things started really. I was like, okay, so I'm selling products that I don't understand, and whenever my boss and advisors would try to teach me about them, I understood them, but I didn't trust in them because, like, they would talk about returns and rates changing and related to the market, all this stuff. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like trustworthy. Everything that we're selling this product for someone to put their trust in our company so they have more money in the future. When you just told me several different things about how someone else is going to make a decision that will change what this product and policy looks like. And then I started asking more specific questions on how things worked. And that was when my boss, either he didn't know or he didn't want to tell me. And I honestly kind of think it was the first. And I was like, this is kind of ridiculous. But I was at a point where I needed the job, so I was still going to keep grinding. I had a friend that, whenever I was kind of winding down, about halfway, 6 months in to that job, I started playing around with Bitcoin and stuff and just learning about it. And my friend asked me, how often are you researching life insurance in your free time? I was like, none. Like, I would love to never do that in my free time. And then he said, what about how much time are you researching Bitcoin in your free time? And I was like, okay, I see what you're saying. And so I stuck it out for a little bit longer. And one day, on top of me just not believing in the business and kind of having trust issues with it, it was also just not my wheelhouse. I was not a good sales guy. And I had one final policy that, if it went through, I was home free. I was going to be living pretty okay, and it didn't work out. And I very calmly, it was a friend of mine, and he called. He's like, hey, I just think we're going to go with someone else. I was like, oh yeah, no problem. He was like, I thought you'd be a little more upset. And I was like, no, totally fine. Promise you, you're all good. He's like, okay. So I hung up, called my boss, and I was like, hey, I got 4 weeks. I want to finish up any loose ends. I'm out of here. And then his boss and his boss's boss start calling me like they were best friends, just trying to check in. And I was like, ah, I see. This is just confirming everything that has built up to this point. And I didn't have a plan. But then things started evolving. And I don't know if you want to go into that right now, but that's basically where my TradFi journey stopped. And I was really mad at the system and found Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, understandably, dude. I think a lot of fiat creates these incentive systems that are just misaligned with the end customer. So insurance, the health industry overall too. It's there's so much corruption. So I can completely understand you wanting to be out of that and wanting to work in something that you're actually like passionate about. Like you mentioned, what do you do in your free time? If you're researching Bitcoin every day and you're spending most of your time doing that, might be a good idea to find a job in the Bitcoin industry then, so you can marry like your career with something you're passionate about. I want to hear your full Bitcoin story, and then we'll bridge the two worlds together. I want to hear the transition after you quit, without really a plan, what you did next.
Hey guys, real quick, as a Bitcoin-focused recruiting firm, our goal at Bitcoin Talent Co. is to bring as many professionals into the Bitcoin industry as possible. Since we don't run ads, our one ask is to rate, review, and share this podcast with friends and family so more people can find this show. Thanks, and now back to the interview.
But yeah, let's start with the Bitcoin story.
I first found Bitcoin in 2017 at about $9,000. And when I say I found it, I saw it on Robinhood and I saw that the number kept getting higher. And so I threw $10 in. A couple weeks later, I needed some beer, pulled out $13, never touched it after that. And it wasn't until probably about 2020, which was the year that I graduated, or 2019, honestly. Oh God, I'm getting old enough that I can't remember years now. But it was about 2019 that I was finishing up like my banking and finance specific classes, and I remember asking like we. Especially in security analysis, we got to my school had two Bloomberg terminals, and we got to I got certified, and we got to play around with those, learn how to use them, and I kept asking all these questions of like, hey, why is this way? Why is this way? What is the reason for that? I can't do this, but someone else can, and just talking about like numbers that. Should be going one way, but they aren't. Breaking news, the answer was because it's a fiat currency. But every time I asked a question of why, my professor would always just say, that's just the way it is. I'm like, no, don't give me that mom and dad answer. Like, I'm not 6 years old. But I mean, at the time, that was just like he said, it was the way things were, and I needed a degree. I'm just gonna, okay, that's fine. Then I kind of picked up on Bitcoin probably early 2020 and really started to dive into what it was. And I was like, oh, this is the patch that kind of patches those holes in the TradFi system. That was really it. I was just like, oh, this is cool. Someone thought about this. Why is it not widely used? Whatever. And I started just kind of reading about it, looking at it, stuff like that. And I was a very base level understanding, and I just kind of thought like, oh, this is a kind of cool thing to play with on the side. And of course, that late 2020, early 21 bull run, I got greedy, started shitcoining, trading with obscene amounts of leverage, which no one should be allowed to do. And I got caught up and didn't even remember why the initial thought of, why I wanted to look at Bitcoin and play around with it, that just left my head. 'Cause, and looking back, I'm like, yeah, I was there from the beginning. Like I knew what I was talking about. I just didn't go deep enough to embed that conviction in me, because greed took that conviction right out the door. And so once every, like, I got burned just like a lot of other people. And once that happened, I just kind of started, like, I was told, I got burned really, really bad, like, when I was really highly levered on some positions, and just everything just kind of blew up, and I was like, man, this sucks, but I think the technology is still great. And I talked to Kenny, I always remember, forget how to pronounce his last name, DeGiglio, and he kind of gave me that orange pill while I was still shitcoining. And from that point on, that was probably early 22, I want to say. From that point on, I was like head down. Every waking moment that I had, like, I was going to be like studying this, because he kind of gave me that understanding of, like, bring me back to my roots, figuring out, like, okay, you like this for this reason. And he kind of also looped it into the investment part of things that I already had distrust about from the financial planning world. And we were talking about BlockFi, and he taught me about rehypothecation. And I was like, oh my God, everything is just clicking now. Like, I am doing the wrong thing. And so he probably maximalized me, is what I like to say. Him and then Cody Lowe were the people who really shoved that orange pill down my throat. And from then on, it was like, I mean, I get more bullish every day. I get more radicalized every day, and I'm trying to put more of my worth into Bitcoin every day. Like, these wood floor panels are about to come up and be sold for some sats.
Spoken like a true Bitcoiner, huh?
Yeah, this is the only chair that I own. I only have this chair, and I got it for free. I promise everyone, but I need one chair. But
yeah. Yeah, like I said, shout out Kenny, shout out Cody. They're both involved with, like, I think this Palms Crypto course. And essentially, they were bringing people that are interested in crypto into the program and then secretly orange pilling them through the way.
So yeah, I love to see. Big time Trojan horse.
Yeah. I love it. Cool. Now, let's back where you quit your job without really a plan. Where do you go from there? And then how do you start working in Bitcoin? Walk me through that.
So I quit my job. I want to say it was probably, I think it was late 21, I want to say. And I really just had no idea what I was doing. I quit, and then it immediately started, like, in that 4 week span that I said I was going to tie my loose ends. I was looking on, AngelList. I was looking on, all these crypto, job sites, and just seeing, like, what there was. And I also realized that I don't know what I even want to do in Bitcoin. I thought that I wanted to do something on the financial side of things, because that was where my background was. And I just, like, every position that I thought was financial was like, oh, you need a lot more experience in this to, you know, be any sort of level on the, like, risk department or anything like that of any company, or any sort of financial side of companies. Like, there was a lot of accounting positions. I'm like, no, I don't want to be an accountant for a Bitcoin company. I want to do something financial with Bitcoin. And I felt like I hit a dead end, but I kept looking. My dad was very helpful during all this, because he knew how bad that year was at that company. And I eventually found Palms Crypto Academy just completely on a whim. I was like, yep, sounds like a plan. Like, I don't know what else there might be. And little did I know, that was I call that one of the greatest decisions I've ever made in my life, because it was how I found my current job. It gave me immense connections to tons of people I never would have met, but, like, some of them are my literal best friends now. And Pomp was the reason that my show got kind of kicked off. So, like, literally everything kind of stemmed from that. So I'm eternally grateful for Pomp and the team that puts that together, because that was basically the reason that I am in the position I am today.
Yeah, and so listeners know that the Pomp's Crypto Academy, it's basically a cohort-based education and community program that people go through, and it seems like the networking you've done through it and getting orange-pilled throughout that process too seemed to be very worth the dollar amount you spent on it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was so unique, because like I definitely didn't think it was going to be like those online courses that were like how to get rich quick, but I didn't know what to expect, and it was really just like 2 or 3 weeks of just high intensity, like Zoom meetings every day, just learning about different aspects of Bitcoin and crypto more broadly. And then there was a
Yeah.
career day, and I was career day was interesting. But like we got to talk like straight to some of the biggest names in the industry as far as the companies go. And a lot of people, I mean, I can't remember how many people he says that have gotten jobs from it, but there are several people that I know personally, and I'm directly related. That's how I got my job.
Yeah. Talk me through that then. What was the job search process like? Did you get it direct, you got it directly through the academy, or how did that go?
So I still kind of we, Claire was the kind of career coach, and she gave a lot of workshops on resume building and how to look for a job. And so I was going to Bitcoiner jobs. I was going to Pomp's crypto job board that he had, and I was still looking at some of those other places. And I was still having just a ton of difficulty figuring out just where I wanted to fit in. In my cohort was a guy who, very quickly after we got done with our cohort, he got a job with Compass and reached out to me and said, "Hey, I remember talking to you. You were very enthusiastic. You were always kind of like that face in the crowd that everyone really liked the energy of. Here's this position
Yep.
for mining concierge, now called customer success agent. I think you'd be a good fit." I was an idiot and ignored his message for like, I want to say, a week or two. But he sent me the link. I applied and ended up getting it. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I got to the point where I needed a job. This is going to be at the very least good experience for when I want to get a
Yep.
different job in Bitcoin, doing customer support for a mining company. I was like, I don't know a thing about mining. Very quickly, I figured out that I don't want to do anything else in Bitcoin now. That financial stuff
Okay.
that I was talking about, forget that. I don't want to do that at all. Like I'm really glad that it happened the way it did, and I figured out that I learned what mining was, and I'm loving it. But yeah, he one of my I think at the time whenever I joined, I want to say that there were between 6 and 8 people that onboarded from Pomp's Academy.
Yeah.
At Compass. So it's pretty cool to see, especially being a year and a half removed now. Like it's kind
Yep.
of cool how things move.
So that's very interesting that you didn't really have any background in mining at all. Still pretty new to the Bitcoin space. How did you land that job with Compass Mining then?
I mean, the interviews, I guess, went really well, and they didn't care as much about my mining knowledge rather than my just people skills, because that was what I was going to be doing. And
Okay, so that's the, I got it.
yeah, and so it wasn't a mining related role, but I was a mining company, and I'm like, I don't know anything that's going on here. And I started just asking people within the company different questions if I was curious, because I had some weird hours when I started, and I didn't care at that point. I needed a job. But I was working until like midnight usually, and so the international team would be getting on as I'm like getting off, and I'd be like, hey, just a quick question. I saw this. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And sometimes I'd stay on a call with one of my coworkers in Australia or the Philippines until like 3 a.m. my time, because we were just having really good discussions about what things were, why they were, what they were. And I just slowly started learning more and more about mining. And then I was like, I really want to see one of these in person. And once we got our service center last year in Colorado, I kind of half jokingly told our mining operations manager, like, hey, if y'all need anything, any help setting up, like, I'm happy to come up there. And you would have thought that I just offered them a $1 billion loan, no interest, pay it back whenever you want. And they were like, can you get on a plane tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, sure. We were understaffed because a lot of our operations team was off getting certified for repairs. And so they literally had me, the mining operations manager, and then our logistics manager. That was the first time I ever saw an ASIC. I played around with them. We were testing stuff and, again, further figured out that I loved it. And essentially they offered me a job on site at our repair facility then, but it wasn't the time. And things work out weird. And a year later, it happened. So
there you go. When did you realize that you really liked mining and Bitcoin mining? Is that just through that process of trying to solve problems for customers?
I mean, that, and then also so part of the onboarding process was kind of a bite-sized, what is mining? And me just being curious, I took everything that I learned from just the brief little PowerPoint and went further into it. And I ended up like, I was on Bitcoin Talk forums from like 2013 doing research and stuff and learning about mining like throughout the years and stuff like that. And one of the biggest things that I really liked about it was that there's a group of like 12 old guys in Washington, D.C. that can flip on a switch, and then I'm a little bit poorer. In Bitcoin, you are trading energy for currency. And in that energy transfer is actual proof of work going into it. Like, each machine is doing its individual job at trillions of times a second just so it can get to a goal. And someone, whoever gets to the goal in this massive global mining environment, everyone's a winner, because there's just been 6.25 more Bitcoin put into circulation and people had to work for it for 10 minutes. So that was kind of the main thing that I was like, okay, this is different than fiat.
Yeah, got it. Tell me more about Compass, the company. Is it like all Bitcoiners that work there, and like how many people work there?
I think we're right around, we're north of 100 right now. But there were, most of them are Bitcoiners. There were some people who got in early on from whenever the company was starting up, and I've actually seen some people get orange pilled through working at the company. But there's a lot of, we're also talking internally about like internal education for people who they start doing this job that may just be a financial job or a customer support job, but why not try to, you know, teach them what we are doing if they're just trying to, you know, have a job, and let's talk about Bitcoin a little bit. But the company as a whole, like, it's it's been the best job that I've ever had, and it's the first job that I don't feel like I'm working at. I remember through career days in high school and stuff, people always say, I've never worked a day in my life, talking about how they love their job, and never thought that I'd feel that until I actually felt it. And everyone's super supportive, super uplifting. They have been very helpful for me in like personal things I've gone through over the past year and a half, like moving and life changes and stuff like that. And they're also just really fun. Like we have every month we have like a I think it's like 30-minute team time where we play like Guess That Song, and we start doing Family Feud and stuff just to keep things, you know, a little more fun than just like work 24/7. And then I met, it was crazy because I worked for the company for over a year before I met, the first person I met was actually one of our employees who's over in the UK, and we met at Pacific Bitcoin. And I thought of all the people that work at the company, several are stateside, didn't think he'd be the first one, and we hung out. And then I worked for the company for a total of over a year before I actually met my boss at the Miami conference, and we just had a blast. A bunch of us went down there and had just a great time, nerded out about mining, and it was just super great. I love Compass so much. Like they have been a big part of my life.
That dude, I love to hear that you exited your fiat career and now you're working in Bitcoin. You love every day, every minute of working. I share that same feeling with you. I haven't checked the clock in years now, just because I've been working in the industry. Back up real quick, I guess, for the listeners, what exactly does Compass do in the Bitcoin space?
So Compass is a retail mining and hosting company. Mining is what I didn't even know. Like getting into mining, you don't know what you don't know. It's a big jump to even start learning about. But it's very competitive, and it's very hard to kind of get into mining, even if you want to do it just yourself. As technology has advanced, these individual miners are becoming more competitive with the next manufacturer. And so now, like, it produces a lot of noise, a lot of heat, takes a lot of power. Not everyone has a spare 240-volt plug in their house. Even if they did, husband or wife is going to yell at you for, you know, making a lot of noise and it being 80 degrees in the house. So what we do is we have several facilities across North America and in the United States and Canada that you can buy a miner through either our marketplace or directly from us, and we will host them in our facilities for you. You just pay a hosting invoice for the power consumed and the miner. You plug in your pool account, it hashes directly to you. We never touch any of the Bitcoin that's mined. And yeah, you can also buy and sell ASICs through us. They're hosted with us, and you can also snag a really good deal on some marketplace listings. That's one of my favorite places to go just peruse.
Got it. So to sum it up, it's a way for retail people to get involved with mining, very low lift. And as well, you guys have the marketplace too, so buy and sell ASICs, which are Bitcoin mining machines. Cool. Yeah, I want to switch over now to, I guess, before I get to my last question for you, what do you do with your day-to-day job as a repair specialist now?
I pick up heavy boxes and I put them down a lot, and sometimes I put electricity in them. That's a very generic, but also very true, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Very generic way of putting it, but we have our Denver Service Center is kind of our touch point for any of our miners across any of our facilities, moving, either shipping home to a customer or getting relocated. It's going to go through our Denver Service Center or our new Washington one. And so a lot of what I do is I do a lot of testing on the miners that come through, and I test them, see if they work. If they don't, I see what's wrong, and I will then attempt to repair it. I'm working on getting into the board level stuff, but right now I'm mainly just doing hardware, external hardware stuff with it. But it's really cool to, like, I learn more every single day doing testing. Like, I learn about a new error that I've seen, or I learned that you can use deionized water to wash computers. It felt so bad and wrong to dip an entire computer into a bathtub, basically, of water, but that was how we cleaned them. And I mean, it was interesting for sure, but yeah, lots of drilling, lots of testing, lots of staring at a computer screen and problem solving.
Okay. Do you have any, give a general piece of advice you give someone looking to work as a repair specialist, maybe one day in the Bitcoin industry?
Yeah. The way that I started with the conversations came up with my boss, because, I think we were talking about old video game consoles. I used to like retrace, PCBs and which is the circuit boards. And he was like, no way. Would you be interested in trying out yada yada? Start talking about miners. And if you want to do something like that and you already kind of like have that background, or even if you don't, just like see if you can get some old hardware, try to see if you can find what's wrong with it. Like I'm saying, like an old NES or something like that. See if you can plug in a cassette and a cartridge, and if it doesn't work, see if you can fix it. If you can fix it, that's a big step. Also, I tell everyone this, buy a miner. I'm not saying you have to buy, you know, a $2,000 current gen machine. Go on eBay, buy an S9, buy an S7. I mean, it's not going to make you too much money by any means for terahash, but I got 3 S7s on eBay for $40. And just so I could tinker around with them, and two of them worked, one of them didn't, end up just accidentally fixing the other one. But it was a really good way to kind of learn how these miners work and kind of how the interface is and what it looks like physically and all the insides and stuff. If you have a little bit of money to spend, and I'm not talking a lot, like seriously, $40-$50, buy an old miner online and just play around with it.
Got it. Yeah, I think that's the best way. You got to learn by doing. And just having that little bit of background experience too would go a long way when you start applying to repair specialist type of jobs too.
Yeah, and a lot of the the things that we do, as far as like some of our board level people have never worked on miners before. But they were Bitcoiners and kind of figured out like, oh, I have a certification to do board level repairs and so that translates very easily over at Compass for repairing Bitcoin miners. And then same thing with just like we gotten people who are specifically like warehouse specialist as far as like managing logistics and stuff like that were Bitcoiners. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that they could use warehouse skills in a Bitcoin job, but they do. So take what your skill is, figure out if it can be translated into Bitcoin. I promise you it probably will be able to, and go from there.
Yeah. I'd say as long as you're passionate about Bitcoin, that's like the number one priority for most Bitcoin companies. As we wrap up this podcast, I want to switch over now to Between Two ASICs. I talk about often on this podcast the idea of starting a proof of work project, which is essentially like a Bitcoin side project. Anything that you can do, contribute to the Bitcoin ecosystem in your own capacity, whether it be start a podcast, start a blog, if you're technical, start working on open source projects in the Bitcoin space, really anything to contribute to Bitcoin. And your show, Between Two ASICs, seem to have taken off over the last year. You've gotten some really, really great guests on the show too. So for the audience, I'm curious, how did Between Two ASICs start, and how did you land all of these big guests so far?
Well, I actually, it started by me wanting to do a proof of work project myself and failing a lot. I failed forward for a good bit of time. I tried doing a blog called Explain Bitcoin Like I'm Five. Once I got to the mining part of it, I realized that it was way too big and complex, and I'm not a writer. I then tried to start a podcast. That never even took off. I started trying to do educational videos, which I still do kind of want to do, but it wasn't my wheelhouse at the time. And I was honestly kind of defeated a little bit. I was like, dang, man, I can't do anything that everyone else is doing. I remember I was watching a Dylan LeClaire interview, and I can't remember what the question was in my head, but I thought to myself, man, it'd be funny if I was interviewing him and I asked him blank. I can't remember what it was, but it was hilarious. And then I was like, what if I start writing these questions down? And I like had this note somewhere of like a couple of questions for several big people in Bitcoin. I'm like, if I ever get the chance to ask them, that'd be great. I was like, what if I do a show, or try to interview them? And I've always been a big fan of Between Two Ferns, which is surprised what the show is based off of. And just the vibes of the awkward kind of directly offending guest. It's just funny. And I was like, Bitcoin doesn't have any of that right now. Let's see if I can do it. So I, was kind of messing around planning things like that. I hit up the guys at Geyser Fund and asked how to get put on their site, which, if you're not familiar, Geyser Fund is a, Bitcoin crowdfunding website. It's super awesome. They are continually just surprising me, and owe a lot to them for getting me started. But they had actually stopped accepting new entries because they were gearing up for an update or something like that. And they were like, they told me that they're like, we stopped, but this is funny. We're going to let you get on. And so I sent them all my stuff and got put up there and got some incentives. One of the incentives was, if I got to a certain amount of sats, I'd get the supply formula tattooed. And yeah, I did. Which I really like that tattoo. But, once I figured out like, oh, this might actually happen, I just started DMing people, and seeing, Hey, can you, I had this stupid idea. None of these people followed me. Like I can't remember who all I want to go back now and see who all I asked, but like it was some big people, that I just was, maybe someone will respond. No one did for a while. On my birthday last year, I like to tweet without thinking. Like I might think it's funny and then I just tweet it and it's not even that funny, but I just think, don't, no second thought, just tweet it. And I tweeted on my birthday at A. Pompliano, do you have something to tell me today? And surprisingly enough, he DM'd me and said, what do I have to tell you? And I was like, what the heck? Like, I didn't expect this. And I was like, I was just making a joke. I'm sorry, it's my birthday. And he responded to my tweet then and said, happy birthday, smiley face, or something like that. And I was like, okay, that was crazy. By the way, I sent you an email and a DM about this stupid show. Would you be down? And he was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, no way. And so then, like within a week, I was on a plane to Miami and I went to his office, filmed with him. And while we were filming, he was like, dude, Peter's in town. He would love to do this. Hooked me up with Peter McCormick, had my first two episodes, and then it's just kind of snowballed from there. So that on paper, it never should have happened. Like it was the most random events that lined up that got me where I was. But I wouldn't trade the last year for anything.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just like the universe finds a way. And yeah. I think that's also something that was kind of needed in the Bitcoin space, is making Bitcoin fun again. So
yeah, thank one you of for the doing that. One of the things laugh. That I thought about whenever I was creating it was that, like, everything sucks right now. We're in a deep bear market. People are yelling at each other for no reason. Like, I mean, people are getting personal with these tweets, just calling people out for something that doesn't matter, starting to talk about people's weight and people's moms and stuff. I'm like, yo, hey, can we like step back a little bit? And I was like, okay, I'm a sprinkle a little bottle of water on this dumpster fire and see what happens. And I think that water bottle kind of did some damage to that fire. So you're welcome, yeah. Bitcoin.
No, like I said, I love it, man. I think we do need to bring some fun back to Bitcoin. So thank you for riding that for us.
Absolutely. And
excited to see the continued success of Between Two ASICs. So as we wrap this up, can you tell the audience where exactly can they get in contact with you online, and how can they learn more about Compass Mining and Between Two ASICs?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Tatum Turnup. I'm at Tatum Turnup on literally everything, but I mainly use Twitter, Noster. You can find me at Tatum Turnup on Noster as well. If you want to directly contact me and talk about specifically my journey or something, feel free to email me at tatum@between2asics.com. That's between TWOASICS.com. I love talking about literally anything from the getting a job to anything mining. And if you want to learn more about Compass, feel free to ask me as well, or you can go to our website, compassmining.io. We have plenty of resources on there. They're teaching resources about mining, about Bitcoin, and it's the beginning of a very deep rabbit hole that you will not regret going down.
There you go. So anyone interested in working in the mining industry soon, hit up Tatum. I'm sure he has a lot of insights for you and can show you the path to get started. All right, Tatum, thank you so much for your time. I'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening, and I really hope you found value in this podcast. If you're a job seeker looking to work for a Bitcoin company, or you're a part of a Bitcoin company and need help with finding talent for your team, please head over our website at www.bitcointalent.co and get in touch with our team. Thanks. Until next time.